Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. I'm your host, Greg, and we're back after an impromptu break because Spurs took an impromptu break from most of their cup competitions. But just like how they're coming back this weekend, we're coming back to you this week. See how smooth that whole thing there was, guys? See how professional we are now? That's what you get with Wheeler Dealer Radio. Joining us this week, we have two out of our three panelists. One of them couldn't be bothered to show up because he's Ben. But joining us, we have Brian Ashlock. Brian, how are you doing this week?
I'm great, Greg. And that opening that you did was as smooth as a good night's sleep on a Casper mattress.
It sure was, Brian. Did you know that Casper mattresses are rated as
just enter the code WDR when you check out, and you'll get absolutely nothing. They will probably not even give you a mattress.
How are you this week? And if
I'm
there's
good.
Any other
I'm
products
good.
You would like to place?
No, I'm good. That's I'm just happy that this weekend will feature a Spurs match because watching kind of the FA Cup stuff last weekend was really lame, and I wasn't feeling the magic of the cup because, you know, we weren't in it. So
it is really weird when, like, other teams are playing and we're not on a weekend. It's, I don't know, it's not fun, but Spurs could probably use the break.
Yeah, and then the big game of the weekend was happening on Monday, which is also always stupid.
Yeah, so I don't know why they would do that, but, you know, we all know the FA is an impeccably run organization. I'm sure they had their reasons. Next up, we have someone who is super happy to be here. It is Reno Wallabout. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. That intro was tight like a pair of MeUndies on our number 9, Vincent Janssen.
So enter Thick Vin as your code for on MeUndies.
With 2 C's.
Yes, that's 2 C's for both, you know.
Jesus.
Rob, how you doing?
Good. I don't really remember Tottenham playing games. But
you don't remember?
I've heard there was some soccer.
It's called football.
Damn it. Start over.
We're doing a podcast. You need to be, you know, more culturally specific.
I'm sorry. Is that so they say football in Miami, Brian?
Yes.
Is that,
yep. No, yep. We
No,
yep,
no. They say football in Miami.
No, that's a ridiculous stereotype. But as you all well know, our MLS team is Internacional Miami
Jesus
Club de
Christ.
Football. So yeah, we do say football.
David Beckham knows how it's
absolutely
properly
he certainly does.
Spoken.
Is this the David Beckham team?
It is. It is.
Huh?
Did you not get that from the Flamingos?
Oh, I don't know how I missed that.
They're not flamingos. They're some other type of bird. They're like cranes or something.
That happened to be pink.
Yep. So, I don't know why it was important that they not be flamingos, but that was, if you read any of the literature that came with the logo, you would know that they are cranes of some sort.
Well, not all of us have that literature tattooed onto our bodies.
Egrets, Brian? Could they be egrets?
They
maybe
could
herons?
I don't believe they're herons, but they could, because herons have like a little crusty thing. I don't think they have a crusty thing on their heads. So.
Brian, could you do some research before our next podcast and sort of bring us back some answers?
I'll report back.
I appreciate
from the
that.
MLS news desk.
The MLS bird news desk.
Yep.
So we do have some actual football, as Brian would say, in his native Miami, to talk about this week. Because Tottenham Hotspur had a Champions League match And, you know, the real appeal, the thing I think the Spurs fans really wanted out of the Champions League all those years that we went without it, all those years we looked up at Arsenal and those other teams finishing above us, was the ability to really just, you know, have these matchups against these famous European teams that you just don't get to see that often. You know, really just these fresh new matchups like Borussia Dortmund, who I feel like we play more than we play Burnley. We came into this match a little bit hurt, but so did they. But this is probably one of the more exciting matches Spurs have had this year. We had a 3-0 victory against Dortmund at Wembley. And Brian, how good was Spurs' performance in this game? Brian, are you there?
Brian struck dumb by the quality.
Wow, you know, I just had so much great insight there. It was lost.
Were you researching birds? Were you researching what the birds on Dortmund's logo were? They're letters, they're not birds.
I had cogent and intelligent thoughts about this game, and it's now been ruined by my inability to click the mute button. Mm. All right. What was the question again? How was the game? It was
Jesus
great.
Jesus Christ.
We're going to cut this out, right? You're editing this, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely editing this now.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, all those ad reads we did, that pays for an editor.
Yeah, yeah. We've got somebody behind the virtual glass who's inevitably a Liverpool fan. That's just how podcasts work, I think.
No, that's just how soccer on the internet works. Everybody is somehow a Liverpool fan.
Yeah. What was the question? The first half was not great, yeah. And the second half we made some adjustments, and you know, it sounds like the adjustment was just like, hey, play better, and we did that, and we kind of played them off the park in the second half.
Well, the adjustment was they dropped Eriksen deeper.
Yeah. The actual adjustment was, you know, drop a third man into midfield, be a little more compact with the lines of defensive midfield, and also play about, you know, 20, 30 yards further up the pitch and really start to prevent them from getting the ball out to Sancho and Pulisic, which seemed to be Dortmund's plan in the first half. And it worked pretty well because Sancho, at least, and I think Pulisic to a lesser extent, they got themselves into some one-on-one situations, but not a whole lot came of it because, like you said, Greg, they were dealing with some injuries. They didn't have Paco Alcacer, and they didn't have Marco Reus, and so they're left with Mario Götze playing striker, and he's not a great striker. You know, he doesn't have this. He doesn't do all the same running that Reus does. He doesn't get shots. He doesn't get on the end of chances. And so Dortmund maybe didn't make us pay as much as they should have for kind of some of the mistakes but with some of the positions that they were getting in, some of the ways that they were getting isolated against our back three. But then, like you said, Spurs come out in the second half. Eriksen drops deeper into midfield, and then almost immediately we score. And from there, it was kind of all Spurs.
But let's not forget, we scored off of a cross from left back Jan Vertonghen. And Rob, I think Jan's performance at left back is probably the story of this match, right?
Yeah, that was... Everyone, including Jan Vertonghen, has been dreaming about that. The man who hates playing left back decided to be the Champions League Player of the Week, playing left wing back because he's somehow the best crosser of the ball we have from the left side, and also is capable of scoring strikers' goals, just breaking in behind the defense, latching onto crosses. We all knew he could do that. It's just a question of the manager holding him back and not unleashing him on opposing defenses.
Oh yes,
we've been playing a long game with Jan Vertonghen in the however many years it's been since he scored a goal. I know he already had one this year, but there is no one on the team thirstier for goals than Jan Vertonghen. So it was nice that Pochettino finally let him loose.
I mean, I think we all think that on this podcast at least, we all think that Vertonghen's probably a better left back than Ben Davis.
I mean, there's not a probably about it.
Yeah.
He's not weaker at any particular part of it than Davis is, and he's definitely a better passer and crosser of the ball, and he's probably a better dribbler. He's definitely a better finisher.
Not sure if he's a better passer, but I think he's better at everything else.
He's a better passer.
He's definitely a better passer.
But I think we all thought that, you know, playing Jan at left back is hardly, you know, like, even though it's kind of an emergency move by Spurs, given all the other injuries we're facing, it's, I don't think we view it as a disaster by any means, but I think, especially given the speedy attackers he was up against, I mean, this worked out a lot better than I think maybe you would have anticipated at kickoff, right?
Well, there were concerns defensively, and it didn't go all that well in the first half. I don't think we would have said that the trade-off would be that he would provide so much impact going forward that it would cancel that out, but he certainly did. So, well, I mean, it worked out just fine.
Yeah, and I think the big key was, again, the shifting Christian Eriksen back into the midfield thing, which allowed Jan more license to get forward, because instead of having Eriksen kind of playing in the hole as a number 10, he's now operating kind of on the left-hand side of midfield, and he's able to cover some of the wingback, some of the fullback spaces, and you've also got Toby Alderweireld over there as your left-sided center back. And so Jan then in the second half had the freedom to basically just camp out, you know, in the 10 to 15 yards above Dortmund's penalty area. And I mean, the cross for the Sun goal is, I mean, it's amazing. And it's great because in the build up to it, you can see the moment where Sun sees that run is on, and then just kind of pulls back from the defender and peels away, and Jan looks up, spots him, and then, I mean, the cross is inch perfect.
It has to be.
The finish is almost as good, too.
6'5" defender.
I mean, that was not an easy finish either for Son, and he just puts it in precisely the right place.
And in fairness, Aurier's cross to Vertonghen for Vertonghen's goal is also a really good ball.
And that was a really great finish.
Yes.
And let's not hit it
so hard.
While we're talking about great deliveries, let's also give Christian Eriksen credit for a cross that was pretty much square on Fernando Llorente's head, which he was able to put in goal. I mean, really good delivery from Spurs in this match.
Well, I mean, that was the difference, right? Pochettino was always lamenting that Tottenham need to be clinical and ruthless, and they have to finish their chances when they get them, and they totally did, and Dortmund didn't. And that was
sort of a theme of the week, given the way we played against Leicester, where we were really putting away,
if either team had a striker other than the, you know, however many minutes Vardy was actually on the field for Leicester, that's the difference.
I mean, I thought the second half of this Dortmund game is probably one of the better halves of football we've played this season. I mean, I think the second half against Manchester United, where David De Gea just wouldn't let us score, was probably the best half of football we actually played.
Scintillating stuff.
Yeah, and so I think it's up there with that. These two halves are kind of up there in terms of the best 45 minutes of football that we've put together.
Now, I mean, I think it's all another player. We've talked about Vertonghen. Another player really worth discussion is Son, who I kind of want to broaden this to sort of maybe his whole season, because I think he's really, really taking another step this year, despite all the time he's missed and, frankly, all the miles he's put on his legs. But he has been electric this season. In this game, I mean, this is the 9th goal in 11 games against Dortmund that he's scored, so, you know, ask questions. But he absolutely kills Dortmund. And, you know, I'm running out of things to say. Like, Son is just a fantastic fucking player, and I'm so happy he's ours. And hopefully the draft dodging means that he stays with us for a nice long time.
Well, the comparison that's been made this week is with Gareth Bale and his final season, where he,
I think that's a bit strong.
Just dragged us to however many number of wins, where nothing was happening, and he pulled out a ridiculous goal. And if you look at it, like, you know, we were
so much
so
much of that season,
that Sun goal against Leicester was important.
So much of the season is like. So much of that Bale season was about just, like, raw physicality. It's hard for me to make that comparison because I think, you know, that goal against Chelsea is the Sun goal that really puts me in mind of Gareth Bale. And it's, I mean, they're different things, and it's about product, not how he got there. But
yeah, well, it's not so much the goals themselves. It's, like, what, two or three games in the last month where it looked like it wasn't going to happen, and then Son just pulls it out at the end when we really need him.
I mean, Son's always had a bit of a knack for that with Spurs. I mean, going back to that Watford goal that he, like, backheeled up through Aurelio Gomez's legs.
Yeah, well, I don't know that he's necessarily... I mean, the idea is that he's taken a leap, but I don't know that he necessarily has. But with no Dele and with no Kane, it's sort of... It has to be him or it's nothing.
Well, he certainly delivered in the crunch. If that's the comparison to Bale, it's hard to argue with that.
Well, it's just in terms of his aggregated production. It's just like he's just scoring goals and making assists and making big plays.
I mean,
and because of that, we're winning games that we might not win otherwise.
Brian, does Son have like a legitimate claim to Player of the Year, given all the time that he's missed? I mean, in addition to how he stacks up against the competition.
Yeah, I think. The argument is that against him would be that he just hasn't played enough minutes. I mean, you're talking about he's played two international tournaments and missed time because of that. He's played, what, about 1,400 minutes in the league and 11 goals and 6 assists or whatever. That's good. But, I mean, he would need to, you know, bang in another 11 goals over the rest of the season, and Spurs would need to win the league because of it.
Yeah, I would say that I think you're absolutely right. I think Son would have to play a crucial and productive role in Tottenham's league title. And at that point, I think you might, like, I think he'll, you know, you could talk about him for Player of the Year.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you're going to wind up with other players who, you know, for Premier League, English Player of the Year, Premier League Player of the Year, you're going to wind up with players like Aguero, David Silva, Kevin De Bruyne, you know, anybody that might be good on Liverpool. So, you know, Salah or Van Dijk or Alisson.
All right, let's, like, calm the fuck down. Like, defenders and keepers.
Yeah, I know.
Even on Liverpool are not winning Player of the Year.
If you're talking about players who are going to have an influential role in, you know, a team winning a league title, and, you know, those are the guys that are going to be considered ahead of Son. Like, you don't win Player of the Year for scoring, you know, 15, 16 goals on the team that finishes in third place.
Rob, do you think Son is underrated because he's Asian, or just because he's the number two guy on Spurs?
Because he's Asian, Nick, maybe. I think it's probably more that Tottenham Hotspur are the Harry Kane team,
mm-hmm.
according to some coach. Is he underrated? I mean, I don't know. Everyone's kind of talking about him. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think it's not a coincidence. I think it's not a coincidence that's happening when Kane's on the bench.
Right. I mean, he's, for most of his time at Tottenham, he's been option 2, option 3, option 4. And now, you know, with Kane and Dele out, he's been option 1.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's done pretty well. Like, who's on Liverpool, who is the option ahead of Mo Salah in terms of getting them goals?
Behind him, you mean?
No, I mean, it's Mo Salah, but who else is there?
Mane?
For goals? I don't think so. Like, So, I mean, there might be... are English soccer fans racist? That's a story for another podcast.
I mean, are all soccer fans, right? Are all white English-speaking soccer fans racist?
Maybe.
I mean, okay, let me reframe this a little bit. Is Son getting... Is Son being treated differently than any player from a non-traditional soccer country would be treated?
Probably a little bit, but I would argue that certainly recently he is getting an enormous amount of attention. Totally, totally deserved. But he's been so good that I feel like, if anything, he is now properly rated.
What I think has been funny about this... Go ahead, Brian.
Sorry to go on. But I think when we talk about him being underrated, the thing that we are most often talking about is that he is not frequently linked with moves to bigger clubs.
Yes, that is entirely true.
I think all Tottenham Hotspur fans understand how good he is. And I think, to a large extent, people that follow the Premier League pretty much understand, after the last two seasons, how good Son is. So what we're talking about then is, like, you know, he's this level of good. Why aren't teams like Real Madrid or PSG or, you know, whoever, why aren't they interested in him? And so I think maybe there is some level of he comes from an unfashionable soccer nation, and so that is why there is less interest in him. If he were Spanish or if he were Brazilian or Argentinian, would there be more interest in a player who's 26 and, you know, has, whatever, 16 goals in all competitions, despite having missed a bunch of time? Yeah, there'd probably be a lot more interest, and the transfer fee would probably be ridiculous. But, like Rob said, he's gotten a lot of attention this year, and so I think he's probably rated. But what we're just talking about is just he's not being linked with big clubs, and that's great if you're a Spurs fan, so he can stay right the fuck here, so...
Well, what I think has been really funny about Son's sort of rise in popularity is that, you know, you'll see like a Manchester United fan or a Real Madrid fan, and I don't think this is even widespread yet, but they'll suggest like, we should try and buy Heung-min Son. And, you know, there's this sort of like, it feels like they're acting as if they just realize that like, the earth is round. Like, they're like, yeah, what about this guy? Why don't we buy him? He's smart. Like, they're talking about some fucking like guy on Hamburg and like, none of those teams are buying anyone from Hamburg these days, but you know what I mean. It's just like, you know, it's like it never occurred to them before that moment in time to buy one of the best attacking players in the Premier League.
Well, hopefully it doesn't occur to them now.
Well, unfortunately. So there's one other goal scorer in this game, and I think he warrants a little bit of discussion too. We were all extremely unhappy with Fernando Llorente when... Harry Kane first went down, and we saw what kind of product we're getting from him. But I think it's worth a little bit of evaluation. Brian, I mean, look at Llorente over the last couple matches. He's had a couple pretty important goals and played a not insignificant role. I mean, is Llorente good now?
No, he's not.
Is he serviceable?
I mean, okay, so... In terms of just having a second striker,
full third,
because I guess we're gonna count Heung-min Son as our second striker. I mean, just from a sheer counting statistics perspective, in terms of the minutes he's played and the goals he's scored, you have to be kind of happy with what he's doing. I don't like him because I just don't think he fits in with Spurs' tactical, you know, framework. But, I mean, he's played 700 minutes in the Premier League, or in all competitions, and he's got 7 goals and 4 assists. And some of them, those goals have been, you know, useful, important goals. And some of those assists have been for useful, important goals, and I guess he's fine. I mean, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season that he would score 7 to 10 goals, I would have said, like, all right, I think that seems good. The main issue for me with him is he he's only ever scored one substitute goal, and that was this week against Dortmund. That's literally the first ever goal he scored as a substitute for Tottenham Hotspur. And for someone whose primary goal is to be a substitute, or primary job is to be a substitute, to not score goals in that role is kind of a failure. So from that perspective, he's still not great, but I guess we're getting decent production out of him, so good.
Well, it's worth remembering that Llorente, throughout his career, even when he was an actual starter, you know, worth starting on some of these teams, is that, yeah, he's never created a high volume of chances in the way that, say, Kane does. What he does do is he finishes a lot of the chances that he does create at a sort of abnormally high rate. So he's, you know, the idea, what made him valuable at, say, Swansea, for instance, is that he was going to put away the stuff he did create. And the other advantage to Llorente, which our own dearly departed or semi-dearly departed Michael Cayley mentioned to me, was that, you know, one of the biggest points of his value is that he's fine being a third striker. Like, he's willing to sort of suck it up and deal with it. Now, you might argue we're paying too much for that privilege, but I've always sort of maintained that it's going to be very hard to find someone willing to play second or third banana at striker on this team. And, you know, like you said, Brian, if he could score like 10-ish goals a year, I don't know, that might be worth it. Obviously, how much he scores as a substitute is an issue. But, you know, I mean, there's this, you look at where Llorente is in his career. He's at a stage where, you know, he's either going to be a starter on kind of a mediocre team in Spain, like Bilbao is probably the best he can do given his history with the club, and they're hardly setting the world on fire right now, or he's can, you know, play an extremely bench role for a team like Tottenham and be scoring goals in the knockout stages of the Champions League. So, I don't know. I mean, I've turned around on Llorente. I wouldn't be super, you know, I wouldn't be very disappointed if he left, but, you know, I think I'd be fine if they decided they wanted to keep him next year. Rob, where are you on our Basque giant?
Pleasantly surprised with how well he's done recently, and absolutely fine with watching him ride off into the sunset with his pretty blue eyes.
You can't watch his pretty blue eyes as he rides off into the sunset, Rob. That's,
well, he's looking back. He's looking back at you.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I seem to recall somebody on this particular podcast saying maybe he's not that bad. I don't know who could have said that.
I don't know who would have said that.
Couldn't be me.
Would never.
But it's one of those funny things. Like, yeah, he actually hasn't been that bad. That doesn't mean we should continue with this experiment. And yes, I understand that it's very difficult to find someone who is willing to be a striker and play 10 games a season and sit on the bench the rest of the time, because you hope that your striker, your main striker, plays 90% of the minutes. But,
well, I mean, Tottenham need to think about this, and maybe it does help their case. Is like Kane misses like a month or two every year now, and obviously some of that has to do with international tournaments, but he seems to fuck up his ankle at least once a year now. So it's not like, I mean, I understand, like, hey, you could start for a month and get some cup games and some substitute minutes, but that's not super appealing. But I think Son demonstrates that if you show your value, Poch is going to find a way to use you.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Kane misses a month every season and we are consistently in the Champions League and supposedly trying to win the various cups that you're involved in, like, there are minutes for other strikers. And they don't have to be Fernando Llorente.
Well, especially, I'm, you know, looking at Llorente now, looking at Son before that, I'm starting to think that maybe some of the, you know, maybe if you produced when you're in your limited time, which is admittedly a challenge, you know, that might lead to more minutes. There might be reasons Jansen was not getting a lot of time at Tottenham beyond, you know, Poch not liking him.
Well, you know, there are plenty of examples of players not putting up numbers particularly in games, but then getting quotes from Pochettino about how impressed he was with performances. So it makes you think that it has less to do with how much you actually produce in games, and he's been very honest about it. He evaluates you based on how well you train. Or in Janssen's case, apparently doing things to various members of Pochettino's family.
I think Pochettino's evaluation of Janssen had much more to do with loans he did or did not accept last season.
Right. I mean, I think it's fair to say, like, Janssen wasn't great when he was getting minutes, but had he been training hard in every session and following instructions and not entering pie eating contests in North London, like, Pochettino might have stuck with him in a way that he definitely didn't. So, I mean, I don't know. He's basically, what it comes down to is there's room for a striker with everything that goes on, with all the games that Tottenham play, with all the time that Kane ends up missing. And as pleasantly surprised as I think most of us are with how well Llorente has been doing recently, the fit really isn't any better than it ever was. Llorente can't press. He can't pass. He can't dribble. He gets his head on some goals, which is very helpful, but you could probably find somebody younger, cheaper, and better to do that. There's really no reason to continue on with Llorente, who is going to be, whatever, 34 or 35 next season, who's probably going to want decent wages, even if he's happy being a bench player.
But in the meantime, we'll take his back-breaking goals against knockout stage competition in the Champions League. So, guys, I'm gonna make a startling break with our brand here. I'm not gonna ask you if you think Tottenham can win our tie against Borussia Dortmund as we take a 3-0 lead into Germany. I'm gonna ask you, Brian, I'm gonna start with you. Can Tottenham Hotspur Football Club win the Champions League this season?
Well, the Champions League this year? Yeah, totally. Yeah, we have like a 2% chance of doing it. That means there is at least a chance.
Would you like to expound upon that at all?
No, I mean, we are one of the teams that remains in the Champions League. And as long as we continue to remain in the Champions League, we will have the opportunity to potentially win the Champions League. Or do you want actual analysis?
Yeah, okay.
Look, here's the thing.
I find this field to be a lot less scary than most years. I mean, City's obviously the class of the Champions League, despite their weird, bad performance against Schalke today. You know, I think City is the team to beat, but Madrid have looked shaky this year. Bayern look like a shell of their former selves. I don't know what's going on with Liverpool, but as much as I don't want to play them, I think they can be beat. Barcelona are still Barcelona, but, you know, I didn't find them to be particularly horrifying when we played them in the Champions League, or at least not up to the certain Barcelona standards of horrifying. I mean, I don't know. I think it would take a lot of luck, but, you know, look at Liverpool last year. And after they got into the knockout stages, they had to beat City, which was no mean feat, but they didn't have to play anybody else, really, in the knockout stages until they, you know, got to the final. But, I don't know. I think it's not the most inconceivable thing in the world. I think a lot of luck will have to go our way, but I think we're putting ourselves in a position where maybe, you know, all the dominoes could fall for us.
I mean, you say that the field is a little weaker this year, and I understand what you're saying. Like, Real Madrid has fallen off a little bit, and, you know, some of the other teams like Juventus and Bayern are maybe not as strong, but we're still definitely underdogs against anybody we would play the rest of the way out. You know, anybody that we could possibly meet in the quarterfinals, like the teams that are ahead in all the ties are, you know, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid.
Do you think we'd be underdogs against Atletico?
Yeah, I think we would. I think just based on, you know, quality of the team and overall, you know, stature of the teams, I think we would absolutely be underdogs against them. And the only ones we probably wouldn't be is whoever winds up winning the Roma-Porto tie. And, you know, and Roma were semi-finalists last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly an opportunity for us to make a run to the semis. You know, maybe with a favorable draw, there's a chance to make it to the finals. We would have to get some really good luck and have better injury luck to have a real genuine chance of winning it. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try, because we have much less chance of winning the Premier League. So we should absolutely 100% try to win the league.
And it's worth pointing out that, I mean, I think top four is pretty locked in for us at this point. So it's not like we can't rotate a little bit for Champions League if we have to.
Exactly.
Brian, I'll have you know, Tottenham Hotspur are at 6% to win the Champions League.
Okay, all right. I was off 2%. By a few percent.
That's 39% to make the semis, 15% to make the final, and 6% to win the Champions League. So, there. The numbers have spoken.
So Rob, let's put it to our happiest, most optimistic panelist. Can Tottenham Hotspur win the Champions League this season?
Sure, why not? So there are probably, what, 6 or 7 teams that are legitimately better than us? But should we be scared of any of them?
I mean, Liverpool scares me. City scares me.
But, like, are you scared of PSG? Yeah, they're better than us, but they're pretty derpy in the Champions League themselves. Like, are you scared of Barcelona? Yeah, we already kind of got the shit kicked out of us the first time, but we got a draw at the Camp Nou. So, you know, if by some miracle we actually, like, show up for a big game with, I don't know, a starting left back, or actually our first team players, like, yeah, we've got a shot. Why not? Like, I'm not scared of Atletico. I'm not scared of Bayern. I'm not scared of Real Madrid. I'm probably scared of Liverpool and City, but, you know, weird things happen. Like, yeah, sure, we've got a shot. It's a lot of games to win. And a lot of, like, stupid mistakes and terrible dumb goals to avoid, but of any year in recent memory, I feel like this one is, like, the most wide open. So we should totally do it. Let's just do it and be legends.
Oh, there's a model to follow.
What could go wrong?
So before we win the Champions League, we do have to play some league matches, including one against Burnley. Rob, how are you feeling about our chances against the Fight North Worms?
Well, I mean, it would be very us to win the Champions League but not be able to beat Burnley, right?
Well, I don't know if it's going to work in that order, but sure, that would be very us.
Burnley have been much better recently. They have a real goalie now instead of Joe Hart. But yeah, we should beat Burnley. And we might even have some guy named Harry Kane make an appearance in that.
Do you think he's going to start?
No, I don't think he's going to start.
I don't know. He's got those good Qatari drugs coursing through his veins.
His cast looked like he's had some deer antler injected into them or something. But no, I don't think he'll start. But I think we might see him. And we almost have a full squad now. And we've had a lot of rest, which in theory is a good thing. So, yeah, we should beat Burnley. I think we'll beat Burnley. I predict we'll beat Burnley. We're going to beat Burnley.
Rob, will we beat Burnley?
No, probably not.
Brian, will we beat Burnley?
Yeah, almost definitely. Probably.
Okay, so we'll beat Burnley. But the one thing I will guarantee is that something stupid is going to happen. Especially if I'm watching this in a bar.
What are you trying to say, Rob? Are you trying to say that bar is cursed?
Is the bar cursed or is the team cursed? I'm not sure.
Are we cursed?
Yeah, that might be it. So it's like a Russian doll scenario.
Oh, God. On that note, as we wrap it up, I do want to ask you guys, do you have any parting shots for Joe Hart before next week's podcast?
I mean, why would we have any shots for the keeper that's going to be on the bench?
Oof. That's a great question.
I mean, he might be the third choice keeper once everybody's healthy, but...
God, how the mighty have fallen. Like dandruff to the
damn
floor.
It. Wasn't fast enough.
All right, let's wrap it up, guys. Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock. That's Brian with a Y, Ashlock, just like it sounds.
Robert, where can people find you on the inner tubes?
You can find me on Twitter at Reno Wallabout, where I will be tweeting about Mets baseball.
Why?
So, I don't know, because Tottenham's not depressing enough.
I like how you convinced yourselves they had a good offseason.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you definitely have, so.
Hey, we had our first spring training injury already, so we're settling into our groove.
Well, I believe in you, not your team, but I believe in you, Rob. So you can find me on Twitter at skipjack0079, and of course, you can find my deepest, darkest thoughts on my Tumblr at Brett Rainbow. For Ben, he ain't here. For Brian, for Rob, and of course, for Brett Rainbow, I am your host, Greg. Thank you very much, and come on, you Spurs.